Women of the world, too, I note. The Arch-Chancellor lapsed into a moment's silence and then said, Mr. Stibbons?
Yes, sir?
Would you be so kind as to run up to my rooms and fetch my robe?
Oh, of course, sir.
And in the meantime, please be so good as to lend me your hat.
But you do actually have your hat on, sir, said Ponder.
Quite so, quite so, said Ridcully,
slowly and carefully through his fixed grin.
And now, Mr. Stibbons, in addition, right now, I wish you, in fact, to lend to me your hat, please.
Oh, said Ponder. Yes.
A few minutes later, a thoroughly clean and decent and clothed Arch-Chancellor was standing in the very centre of the library, staring up at the damaged dome, while beside him, Ponder Stibbons, who for some reason had elected to continue to remain hatless, even though his hat had been handed back to him, stared glumly at some magical instruments.
"Nothing at all," said Ridcully.
"Ook," said the librarian, who was an orangutan, changed from his former human shape as a result of a long-forgotten magical accident. It was so forgotten, in fact, that now people were forgetting he was an orangutan. This might seem quite hard to do, given that even a small orangutan is quite capable of filling all immediately available space, but to the wizards and most of the citizens, he was now just the librarian. And that was that. In fact, if some ever reported that there was an orangutan in the library, the wizards would probably go and ask the librarian if he'd seen it.
"You've searched everywhere!"
"And he can't search everywhere in this library, sir," said Ponder. "That would take more time than actually could possibly exist. But all the mundane shelves, certainly..."
Carrot turned to Ponder.
"What was the for, please, sir?"
You understand that this is a magical library, and that means that even in normal circumstances there is an area of high magical potential above the bookshelves."
"I have been here before," said Carrot.
"Then you know that time with libraries is somewhat more flexible," said Ponder. "Given the additional power of the storm, it might just be possible that...
"Are you going to tell me he's been moved in time?" said the watchman.
Ponder was impressed. He hadn't been brought up to believe that watchmen were clever. However, he took care not to show it.
"Would that it were that simple," he said. "However, the lightning appears to have added a random lateral component."
"A what?" said Ridcully.
"You mean in time and space," said Carrot.
Ponder felt himself getting rattled. Non-wizards shouldn't be that quick.
"Not exactly," he said and gave up. "I'm really going to have to work on this, Arch-Chancellor. Some of the readings I'm getting can't possibly be real."
Vimes knew that he had woken up. There had been darkness and rain and a terrible pain in his face. Then there had been another flowering of pain on the back of his neck and a feeling of being pulled this way and that. And now there was light. He could see it through his eyelids. His left eyelid, anyway. Nothing but pain was happening on the other side of his face. He kept the eyes shut and strained his hearing instead. Someone was moving about. There was a chink of metal. A woman's voice said, "He's awake."
"Are you sure?" said the man's voice. "How can you tell?"
"Because I'm good at telling if a man's asleep," said the woman. Vimes opened his eye. He was lying on a bench or table of some sort. A young woman was leaning against the wall next to him, and her dress and bearing and the way she leaned filed immediately in Vimes's policeman brain as seamstress, but one of the bright ones. The man had a long black robe and a silly floppy hat that got filed under, "Help, I'm in the hands of a doctor." He sat bolt upright.
"You lay one hand on me and I'll thump you," he yelled, trying to swing his legs off the table. Half his head burst into flame.
"I should take it easy if I were you," said the doctor, gently pushing him back. "That was a very nasty cut, and don't touch the eye patch."
"Cut!"
said Vimes, his hand brushing the stiff cloth of an eye patch. Memories interlocked.
"Car, sir. Did anyone get him?"
"Whoever attacked you got away," said the doctor.
"After that fall," said Vimes, "he must have been limping at least. Look, I've got to
Then he noticed all the other things. He'd been picking him up all the time, but only now did the subconscious present the list. He wasn't wearing his own clothes.
"What's happened to my uniform?"
he said. And he noticed the "I told you so" expression the woman gave the doctor. "Whoever attacked you stripped you down to your drawers and left you lying in the street," she said. "I found you some spare clothes at my place. It's amazing what people leave behind."
"Who took my armour?"